The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. It's time to put your money where your values lie. Break free from your big bank. Visit DuPageCU.com/join today. By member's choice, this financial institution is not federally insured.
Need to get schooled on the latest in the world of college football? ESPN 1000 Chicago College Tailgate Show.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Here are your hosts, Chris Black and Adam Abdallah.
Let's get a top 25 scoreboard with Tyler Aki.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Here's Tyler.
All right, things holding steady right now. Oklahoma and Nebraska, that game 7-3, the number three Sooners with the lead right now. No change in the last 30 minutes with Texas A&M and New Mexico, number seven Aggies. The 14-0 lead, still 7-0 in Bloomington, but Indiana had a chance to maybe get a couple more points there. Still on upset alert for the moment. But it could be 10-0 right now. Hoosiers, maybe even 14-0 right now.
You know, Tyler, what happened was Indiana had the football. I think it was around the 10-yard line. Mm-hmm. They were driving. Then it was 4th-and-1. And Tom Allen decided to go for it. 4th-and-1. Instead of kicking a field goal, they went for it. A little quarterback sneak up the middle stopped. So their last scoring opportunity, they were stopped deep in Cincinnati's area. And then also, they get the ball back. They play well on defense. They get the ball back. Now they're driving again.
They've been moving the ball all game long. I don't know why Hoosiers you're not taking the points it. There. So, West Virginia with the 14-7 lead over Virginia Tech right now. The Hokies, the number 15 team in the country. So West Virginia trying to pull off the home upset there. Coastal Carolina and Buffalo all tied up at 14. Number 16 Coastal trying to avoid the upset on the road. And then Miami, the number 24 team in the country right now with a 7-3 lead over Michigan State.
Thank you, Tyler. Every 30 minutes, he'll give us the top 25 scoreboard in college football. Anything else that's going on, he has his eyes on it. It's a good game, Cincinnati, Indiana, right now.
Well, we talked about it, you know, last segment with the playoff predictor and how adding Indiana and adding Notre Dame could bolster their schedule. Now, it doesn't really bolster your schedule if you lose those games.
No, but it is when you're not a Power 5 team, but you play Power 5 teams, and you get through with a clean sheet, then you could make a case that you could get into the college football playoff.
But also depends on where those Power 5 teams are. Like, Indiana already has the loss. They're not ranked anymore. So if Cincinnati finds a way to come back and win this game, Indiana loses another game, how good does that win actually look at the end of the season? Notre Dame, if they get upset by Purdue today, you know, they've won two games by a total of 6 points. If they're not ranked at the end of the year, if they find a way to lose a couple games, how good does that game look on Cincinnati's schedule? So, yes, it's good for these smaller schools that want to have a shot at the college football playoff to add these teams to their schedule. But at the same time, like, you're relying on a lot from these other teams to bolster your schedule.
312-332-3776 is our phone number if you want to talk college football with us. We go to Will in Virginia. Will, who's your college football team?
Hey, what's up? Sorry, what was that question? I think I missed the middle of it.
Who's the college football team you follow out in Virginia?
Yeah, so I am an Ohio State fan because I was living in Columbus, but I've kind of gravitated towards the UVA kind of, I guess, fanhood. Maybe for like basketball more. But, yeah, I was curious, though. I know it's not like the most popular game to talk about or think about, but since I am out here in UVA area country, with the UVA-North Carolina game, so I was curious what your thoughts was, because obviously UNC's got that loss already this year to Tech, who is losing right now to West Virginia, but this would be, I would say, UVA's obviously biggest test to date with North Carolina on the road tonight, and they're trying to kind of, I know they've had a, I don't know, not easy schedule, but they took care of William & Mary, they beat Illinois up last week, so I mean, do you think either team can kind of, I wouldn't even say challenge Clemson, but at least try to, you know, make up ground or solidify themselves in the ACC, because the ACC is kind of Clemson and then everybody else well below them. But what's your thoughts?
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. And we talked about it, Will, heading into the season. The ACC has a Clemson problem. And the problem is, if Clemson can't get it done, they don't have anyone else to step in and to be that school. You know, Virginia Tech's struggling right now against West Virginia. Miami's struggling right now to get past Michigan State in a good contest down in Miami. North Carolina lost early. There's really not that second team to kind of step in. And Florida State being down as a program is really bad for the conference.
And I don't think it's having a Clemson problem. I think they have the ACC has an ACC problem. They have their Ohio State. They have their Alabama. The problem is there's no Penn State. There's no Georgia. There's no, like you said, there's no second team. We're saying the same thing. We're just phrasing it a little bit differently. Whereas I don't think that there's a problem in having a Clemson in your conference or an Ohio State or an Alabama. You just need another school to step up. It was supposed to be North Carolina. It was supposed to be Miami. It was supposed to be Florida State. You know, if Notre Dame ever decided to join a conference, it could be Notre Dame. They had the ACC schedule last year because of COVID, and they have an ACC schedule in basketball, but in football, they're still an independent. So if they were to choose to join the ACC, they could be that second school. But as of right now, no one wants to compete with Clemson, and someone needs to. North Carolina has that loss at the beginning of the season that kind of disrupts them, but Sam Howell had a really good game in their last game. I mean, it was against Georgia State, so it's not, you know, the best of competition, but they rebounded and they won a game handily that they should win handily. So when it comes down to them facing a Clemson, should it come to that, or another team facing Clemson, there needs to be another ACC team to step up. It's not Clemson's problem that no one else wants to compete with them.
Will, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, yep.
OH, yeah, my friend. OH.
OHIO. Yeah, they need to take care of business after last week. All right, thanks, guys.
There you go. There's Will in Virginia, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. You can also watch this show on Twitch today, ESPN 1000 Chicago. You can always watch our show on Twitch. Let's talk about Alabama and Florida. Bama goes on the road to Gainesville today, 2:30 start on CBS. What do the Gators need to do against Alabama? Well, on Feinbaum earlier this week on the SEC Network, here's the old ball coach, Steve Spurrier, on his Gators and the chances they have against Bama.
Well, first of all, don't beat yourself. Don't have real stupid, careless turnovers that may lead to a touchdown. Make the other team earn their points, and hopefully we can stay on the field a while. You know, we beat Alabama 10-11 years ago. There was only about 8 or 9 possessions each team, so each team could. And I think we only punted maybe twice, once during the game and once at the end. So we punted twice, and so it was a fast game. It wasn't a long, you know, three and punt. It wasn't one of those kind of things. So if we can do that and keep it, you know, keep it close, and then maybe a big play will happen in the second half or fourth quarter, and just believe, though. We got to believe we can play with these guys. That's the first thing. And I think Coach Mullen and the team actually believes we can play with these guys. If we're going to beat them, we've got to play better than them, and that would be the key.
The old ball coach, Steve Spurrier, and when he was at Florida, having those great teams in the 90s, it was flip-flopped, right? Alabama was down, and Florida was the team running it in the SEC. What does Chris Felica, the Bear from College Game Day, what does he think about the numbers heading into this matchup between Florida and Alabama?
Beating Alabama has been difficult for anyone, but it's been nearly impossible for teams from the SEC East. Since a 2010 loss at South Carolina, Alabama has won 31 straight games versus SEC opponents by an average of just under 27 points per game. Only 5 of those games were decided by fewer than 14 points. However, one of those 5 was last year's SEC championship game, which Alabama won 52-46 over Florida.
And so what else is new?
While Dan Mullen's team has lost all 5 games it has played versus a number one team, they are getting closer. After losing the first 3 games by a combined score of 109-17, the last 2 have been one-score games versus Alabama teams, which went on to win the national championship. A 31-24 loss to the Tide in 2017, and the 6-point loss to the Crimson Tide in last year's SEC championship. The Gators' chances would be helped by a healthy Anthony Richardson. The freshman quarterback has just 11 carries on the year, but they have resulted in 25 yards per carry and 2 touchdown runs. He hasn't been too shabby either through the air, as he has averaged 17.5 yards per attempt and has a couple of touchdown passes.
Fires, he's got the receiver, and he's gone all the way! Oh, my!
Two of last year's college football playoff teams, Clemson and Ohio State, have already lost this season. An Alabama loss Saturday would open up the college football playoff race even more.
There's the Bear from College Game Day, Chris Felica, friend of the show here on Chicago's College Tailgate. He's a good guy. I love the stats. And Adam, as an Alabama fan, I will give you the floor as we preview this game, the biggest matchup of the weekend, Florida and Alabama. From my perspective, outside looking in, I don't think there's a chance that Alabama loses this game. I think Bryce Young is too good, and I think what the defense is going to bring to the table will be enough to slow down the Gators. But can the Gators pull off the upset today?
I think they can. It's Bryce Young's first true road start, super hostile environment going down to the swamp at any time, whether it's a day game, a night game. That place is going to be loud. They're going to be extra loud when he's out there trying to maneuver this offense. Now, Florida is allowing 225 yards through the air, so he should be able to take advantage of their down defense this year. One of their linebackers is also out, Ventrell Miller. He's out for the year for Florida. You know, the Alabama's defense will have Will Anderson, their linebacker. He's supposed to play after sustaining an injury against Mercer last week. So the X factors to me are two things. One, how does Bryce Young handle this environment being on the road? Two, what does Florida do with Anthony Richardson? Because as you heard the Bear mention, 25 yards per carry, 4 touchdowns, 2 on the ground, 2 through the air. He's the type of quarterback that gives Alabama problems. Now, this defense is better than it was last year. They're a little younger, but they're better up front than they were last year. Their linebackers, while injured, are still playing better. Will Anderson is one of the best linebackers in the country, so it's good that he's playing. It's going to be a matter of what they can do containing Anthony Richardson. And is Anthony Richardson the only offense that Florida can generate? Because if they limit what Emory Jones is doing, if they limit what the running backs and everybody else is doing, and you just let Anthony Richardson do his thing for a couple plays, that might be okay. This, to me, 14 points is a lot of points for this game, especially on the road for Alabama. I think it's closer than that. To me, this is a survive and advance game. This is the toughest game on Alabama's schedule by the Football Power Index. So it's going to come down to what Bryce Young does on the road and what Florida does with Anthony Richardson to keep that Alabama defense on their toes.
So Adam is a humongous Alabama fan. The Crimson Tide, they face off on the road in Gainesville today. Big matchup. I am a USC fan. Huge USC fan. It's my favorite team. They fired their head coach on Monday, Clay Helton, out at SC. I have thoughts on it next.
Chicago's College Tailgate Show, presented by Nissan, with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. This is Chicago's College Tailgate with Black and Abdallah. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
I'm telling you, the game going on at Indiana with Cincinnati, this thing is a slop fest. By the way, it is now the fourth time in the game that Indiana has the ball at like the 10-yard line of Cincinnati's end, trying to score. They've only scored once. It's 7-0 with 5 minutes left in the second quarter. There's been an end zone interception. Tom Allen's team went for it on 4th and 1 and turned the ball over. And now a lineman for Cincinnati on a fumble from their quarterback tried to pick it up one-handed and to run away from the defense, and the defense smacked the ball out. And now Indiana has the ball on the doorstep again. It's 2nd and goal. And they have a chance to try and put some points on the board.
You know the Mark Twain quote, don't argue with stupid people. They bring you down to their level and beat you with experience. That's what I think about Big Ten non-conference scheduling. Don't schedule the Big Ten in non-conference play. They bring you down to their level and beat you with experience.
Tyler, do you have experience with that, having to deal with us on a daily basis?
Yeah, no, you guys
the
raise
two of us.
The level. I think it reverses here.
If anything, we bring this
here.
We bring this station
grads
down.
Should not deal with others.
Two idiots from
don't
an art school.
Don't deal with art school kids.
Yeah, I mean, we just bring it all down. It is 13-0 now. Indiana scores a touchdown, 5:10 left in the second quarter. The extra point pending as Indiana looking to go up 14-0 on the Bearcats, the eighth ranked team in the country, Cincinnati Bearcats. All right, Blocking Abdallah talking college football with you here on ESPN 1000.
Hold on. Let me put my feet up.
Earlier this week, you're putting your feet up for this segment?
Yeah, you don't need me.
Do you want me to turn your mic off too?
I'll leave it here. Just so people know that I'm here, I'll do the mm-hmm.
Okay, so on Monday, USC fires Clay Helton.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday night was a embarrassment for the USC program against Stanford, a team that's not ranked, not very good, having quarterback issues. But David Shaw, once again, brings Stanford down to Los Angeles. They manhandled them on the lines, offensive and defensive lines. Clay Helton's team, once again, not prepared. Stupid turnovers, bad mistakes, dumb penalties, the whole thing. And quite honestly, last Saturday night, there wasn't really anything to get frustrated over or upset about as a USC fan. You've seen this. Clay Helton has been the head coach at USC for 7 seasons. Since 2015, when he took over midseason in 2015. He has been the football coach at USC. He's won 46 games and 24 losses. And in bowl games, he's 2-3. So, like, if you're a USC fan, like I am, Chris Black, I'm here to tell you, Abdallah, we have been hosting shows for a long time on this station.
Long time.
I have been complaining about how bad Clay Helton is for years. And in fact, I was annoyed by it because I couldn't think and remember for myself how long I've been complaining about Clay Helton on Saturday night, that on Sunday morning, I had to go sit down and dig through the records of previous seasons to figure out when exactly was I fed up with Clay Helton. And I found out. I have been complaining about Clay Helton being a terrible football coach for USC since September of 2016.
Mm.
It's 2021.
Mm.
So that season, they went 10-3. Okay, that's a pretty good record.
Extend Helton.
In September, the Trojans went 1-3. And the three losses came to three ranked opponents. Most notably, you and I got together because we were pumped. The 2016 season kicked off with a classic.
Yeah.
USC, Alabama.
You left the bar early.
In Texas.
You left the bar early.
At Jerry's World.
You were so offended by the output on the field that you left in the third quarter.
USC loses that game 52-6. 52-6. It was the marquee matchup of the Saturday to kick off the college football season, and USC was embarrassing. They were pathetic. At halftime, it was 17-3. At the end of the third quarter, USC only had 6 points. Alabama scored 21 in the third quarter.
They did.
And you just blew the Trojans out.
They did.
And so here's the thing. If you remember back that season, it was all about Sam Darnold. He saved Clay Helton's butt. Because Sam Darnold was so good, he was able to bring the Trojans back in many games in that 2016 season. And he was able to win tight ball games against Washington, against UCLA, against Notre Dame. Sam Darnold was really good. And there was a game against Colorado, a 21-17 victory against Colorado. Colorado was ranked that year. So, like, Sam Darnold allowed this to continue on because he was good enough, despite terrible offensive game plans, despite the penalties, despite the blown timeouts, despite teams not being ready, Darnold was good enough to save them throughout that season. They go 10-3, and you'll probably remember it was an iconic Rose Bowl game. USC beats Penn State 52-49, and once again, USC comes back in the third and the fourth quarter because of the plays that Sam Darnold made, thus cementing his legacy as an all-time great quarterback in USC history. Not good enough to win a Heisman, not good enough to win a national championship, but he was really good for USC. So after 2016, in September, you go 1-3. Okay, so you roll that forward, they keep Clay Helton. They should have fired him that season. Okay, they keep him because they won the Rose Bowl game. 2017, the Trojans go 11-3. In September, a little better, they go 4-1. But they as a top-five team with a returning quarterback in Sam Darnold, they get knocked into the teens after losing a game at the end of September. So once again, the lofty expectations for USC football being a top five team, getting to the college football playoff and national championship game and all this stuff, it's dashed by the end of September. Within the first month, it's already over. 2018. Well, how about this stinker? USC goes 5-7. Are you kidding me? 5-7 for USC. And in September, they go 3-2. They ended up losing that season 5 of 6 games, and somehow Clay Helton kept his job. I complained about it. I believe heading into 2019 is when we started up Chicago's College Tailgate.
Yeah.
And so, like, I know on Black and Abdallah shows on the weekends and on Friday nights, I know I've talked about Clay Helton being a terrible head coach for 3 seasons before Chicago's College Tailgate even began. In 2019, they go 8-5. Not good. Not acceptable. September, 3-2. Do you see a pattern here? Now, last year, pandemic year, strange year for the Pac-12. The Trojans go 5-0 in the regular season. They get to the Pac-12 championship game, and guess what? Oregon's better. They beat them. They go 5-1. Okay, fine. You keep Helton. Whatever. And then this year, through the first 2 weeks of the season, you lost to Stanford, a team you are much better than. And guess what? In September, your season's already over. Do you see a pattern here? In September, Clay Helton never had this team ready to play from the start, and thus removing them from any conversation about the college football playoff, about a national title, heck, even about winning the Pac-12 South. That's how pathetic this has been under Clay Helton. He's had some good recruiting classes, but as we've documented on this show, look around at the top five teams in the country, top six teams in the country. A lot of those quarterbacks are kids from Southern California who chose not to play at USC. I think a lot of this mainly has to do with the quarterback of your favorite team, Bryce Young.
Yep.
Who went to Mater Dei. And most Mater Dei quarterbacks and super good players in high school football in Southern California end up going to USC. Bryce Young was committed to USC, and then he decommitted, and he chose Alabama. And why did he do that, Abdallah? Why? Because Alabama is chasing national championships, and Bryce Young is the best quarterback out of that recruiting class, and he wanted to go somewhere where they are going to compete for national titles. Even though he was the dude in Southern California, and the school was right there, and he was committed. DJ Uiagalelei, quarterback for Clemson, Southern California kid. You know who his favorite team is?
USC.
You know DJ U's favorite team growing up?
USC.
He loves USC.
Not anymore.
And he chose to go to Clemson, South Carolina, and to sit the bench behind Trevor Lawrence. You see what I'm saying here? Like, it's crazy. And so, as a USC fan, thank God they finally fired him, because now the program can start moving in the right direction. But if you've ever listened to me host a show here on ESPN 1000, you've ever listened to us talk college football, none of what took place on Saturday night against Stanford is new. This none of this is new. And quite frankly, I'm getting the same vibes for our football team here in town with the Chicago Bears. And what could happen tomorrow against
Cincinnati?
You're going
to tell me that they've got the best talent in the NFC North?
No. What I'm going to say is, if tomorrow if Cincinnati shows up and has a better game plan, scores more points, doesn't make mistakes, Would you be surprised at that outcome? If Matt Nagy doesn't have this team prepared to play against the Bengals tomorrow?
Of course not.
Okay, yeah, exactly. You wouldn't be surprised at all because we've seen him not succeed.
Yeah.
And so, to me, each September when college football rolls around, so many teams have a chance at a national title and all this conversation can take place. And Clay Helton was the coach at USC for 7 years, and each year in September, the national title hopes were dashed. Each and every year. And it dates back to 2016, when in September they go 1-3 and they lose to 3 ranked opponents, including the opener against Alabama when they score 6 points and give up 52, and they were pathetic in that football game. And I also remember in that game, penalties, dumb turnovers.
Oh, yeah.
It was a complete blank show.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's next? Where do the USC Trojans go from here? Because finally, they have fired Clay Helton, and it's time to move the program in the right direction.
I'll tell you where they shouldn't go next.
Okay. I like that. I probably should have hit the little sounder because that was a good tease.
But I've got my feet up. I'm not facing you. I'm being kind of disrespectful, but that's okay.
No, it's all right. I think I covered that segment. I told you earlier I was going to need 2 segments for this.
I'm well aware. Yeah.
All right. We'll get a scoreboard update with Tyler, and then also Abdallah will tell us who the Trojans should not hire.
More college football talk is right around the corner. Chicago's College Tailgate Show, presented by Nissan.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 Chicago College Tailgate Show with Black and Abdallah.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
We'll see if Justin Fields plays tomorrow.
Better. Stupid.
Let's get a top 25 scoreboard with Tyler Aki.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Tyler.
What's going on, guys? Not a lot going on in that Oklahoma-Nebraska game. Still 7-3 at the half.
All right. You know what? Here's the thing.
We need a 53-point second half, Tyler. We got to make it happen.
I heard one college football podcast suggest that Oklahoma alone would be able to get over, what, the 62.5 for the over-under?
Uh-huh.
Did we listen to the same college football podcast, perhaps?
We agree.
No, different
wasn't
one.
Wasn't that one?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
It wasn't our friends, Dan Rubenstein and Ty.
All right.
No.
That was a solid verbal?
No, a little Andy Staples action.
Oh, okay.
They were
okay.
Suggesting Oklahoma would hit the over on their own.
Wow.
All right, Scott Frost.
Still three right now.
Scott Frost half, hanging tough.
At home.
Still a lot of time.
Number 3, Oklahoma.
Still a lot of time.
Oh, well, you know, it's the game of the century. It's a replay of the game of the century.
Yeah, okay.
That Nebraska tried to get out of.
Number 7, Texas A&M, 24-0 right now over New Mexico. They're cruising. Indiana with the 14-0 lead on Cincy, about 1.5 minutes to go in the half. Actually, Cincinnati just scored, so 14-7 now is your score there in Bloomington. Virginia Tech, number 15 team in the country, is trailing to West Virginia, but they are driving. They're on the 10-yard line of West Virginia, about 1.5 minutes left there. Coastal Carolina, the number 16 team in the country, they are tied with Buffalo right now, 14 apiece. Michigan State, the 10-7 lead on the road against number 24 Miami. And then Michigan's got their legs kicked up. They're on top 35-3 over Northern Illinois.
Thank you, Tyler. Michigan, are they for real?
No.
Wait, what do you mean no? They've looked awesome so far.
No.
What do you mean? They're looking great.
Play some dudes first.
And then
they
also
ain't played anybody, Chris.
Shout out to West Virginia with the lead over Virginia Tech. We're wearing home field shirts today, and home field is in season 2 of Big News Saturday, and today's school that they are releasing apparel for today is West Virginia, and they have the early lead 24-7. A lot of schools that have been released this year have had good weeks in college football, like Florida, Wisconsin.
Let's hope Florida doesn't have the day today. Let's hope that Alabama gets that
LSU,
whole field magic.
Georgia, Miami, Washington, Texas A&M. I hope there's some USC gear in the mix at some point. But if you go to home field and get some gear for your favorite school, use the promo code ESPN Chicago. You'll get 15% off your first purchase from home field. Just go to the website, homefieldapparel.com. ESPN Chicago. We are presented by Nissan, also sponsored by SGCSportsInfo.com and Coors Light. It's Bleck and Abdallah on Chicago's College Tailgate. All right, so we're talking USC football. The coaching the head coaching spot is open. They fire Clay Helton on Monday. They will have a full nationwide head coaching search as the athletic director Mike Bone released a statement in the firing of Clay Helton. They will do a national search, and they want to get USC back to winning national championships. Earlier in the week, obviously, the name that came up first and foremost when the job was opened at USC was Urban Meyer. He was asked about the job at his press conference throughout the week for Jacksonville as he's the head coach there. Here's Urban Meyer midweek.
There's no chance that I'm here and committed to try to build an organization.
Okay. I was warned many times. It's a journey. It's not a sprint. And we're healthy. Our attitudes are good. We have good players, and we're building something.
So that's Urban Meyer. I would say, from what I understand of the situation, that is the most far-fetched option of possible candidates for USC to hire. Not only based on his current situation, because there were real rumors in the last couple of years, he wanted the USC job.
Mm-hmm.
His wife was okay with living in Southern California.
The best rumor in college football is the wife is shopping for houses.
But now the idea is that his family, his wife and his family, are more comfortable being in Florida than they are in Southern California.
Yeah.
So I think that ship has sailed. And then also Carol Folt, the president of the university at USC, and the athletic director, Mike Bone, I don't think they trust the shadiness that comes with an Urban Meyer's program. And they were reluctant to bring him in and to give him full control of the football operation.
You're saying Urban's greasy like his Papa John's pizza?
And I think they were scared of that. And that's why in the previous last few seasons, when there were rumors that were real about Urban wanting to coach USC, I don't think the university would go for that. So I think Urban is out. I don't think that that's a likely situation.
Can I give you a recommendation?
Give me a recommendation. Sure.
Stay out of Iowa. Stay out of Iowa.
Oh, Kurt Ferentz. Okay, all right.
No. Iowa State.
Oh, but Matt Campbell's on everyone's list.
Why?
I heard Bruce Feldman say this morning he's going to be a hot
What's
name
Matt
for
Campbell
USC.
Done?
Well, he's taken a team that was absolutely nowhere in the national conversation.
And done what with them?
They're a top 10 team.
They went 9-3 last season. They went 7-6 the season before that. 8-5 the season before that. And 8-5 the season before that. He's never won a big game. Never.
Development.
Development what? Development into three losses?
Of young men. He's turning young men into football players.
That's not what you want. You want wins.
You don't want some guy
to turn boys into men. This isn't a 90s R&B group. This is a college football program.
Okay, I don't disagree with you. I wouldn't put Matt Campbell as in my
top 2019,
he
lost to Iowa. He's never beaten Iowa.
Yeah.
Lost to Iowa, lost to unranked Baylor, lost to unranked Oklahoma State, lost to Oklahoma, and lost to Kansas State at the end of the season. In 2020, lost to the Louisiana Raging Cajuns start the season.
They're raging, man.
Lost to Oklahoma State, lost to Oklahoma at the end of the season. This year, so far, they've lost to Iowa. They've never beaten Iowa. What has he done? Why is he on everyone's list?
Well, he's going to get a shot at a bigger program.
Well, it shouldn't be at your school.
And or an NFL job.
Okay, good for him.
I would imagine.
Good for him.
So Adam Rittenberg, one of our friends from ESPN.com, he's fantastic on college football. He also has a lot of good information when it comes to USC as well. He had a piece throughout the week on ESPN.com, USC's coaching candidates, top names that could replace Clay Helton. And at the top of the board, you know, we talked about this at the start of the show. Watch Cincinnati, watch Penn State. Their two coaches, Luke Fickell and James Franklin. Did they have eyes on something else throughout the week? And are their teams ready to play tonight? Big game for Penn State at home against Auburn. And right now, Cincinnati's up against it. They're down 7, almost at halftime. 20 seconds left in the second quarter. It's 14-7. But the Bearcats have not looked good today against Indiana. So here's how it breaks down on the column. Tier 1, James Franklin from Penn State, Cincinnati's Luke Fickell, Oregon's Mario Cristobal. My response is, The Luke Fickell connection, if you're unaware, Mike Bone was the athletic director at Cincinnati. He hired Luke Fickell after Luke Fickell had a terrible situation at Ohio State. He wasn't very good. He gave him a second chance, and he's doing a great job at Cincinnati. He knows the state of Ohio really well. Will that play in Southern California? I would stay away there, to be honest.
Yeah, I also heard that he's got would be hesitant to move his six kids California.
He has a big family.
He's a really big family, yeah.
He spent his entire life in the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
And that's great if you're recruiting at Cincinnati because you're picking off kids who can't get to Ohio State.
Yeah, you're getting the 3 stars, the 2 stars.
You're building up your program at Cincinnati because you're dominating in the state of Ohio, which I get. I don't know if that works at USC. I'm not against James Franklin. I would just say this, though. Even though he's done a really good job at Penn State, he hasn't won at the level that I think people at USC think that they're at. So I would say Franklin's in the conversation. Mario Cristobal. My same critique on Cristobal would be the same that I have for Franklin. At a big program, he is winning. They're doing great things. Haven't quite won the big game the way USC kind of thinks of themselves. The name I would really watch is Bob Stoops. Because Bob Stoops brings you the credentials. He's also not that old. He's 61. So there's no reason why he can't get back into coaching.
Mm-hmm.
He's working for Fox, so he knows Southern California. He's out there. He sees it. He's recruited from coast to coast. And he's won a national championship before. He has done it at the highest level. And he's the type of guy who found Lincoln Riley. Right? Like, so if Bob Stoops was able to put together a staff around him at USC, that right there has all the cachet that you need for that program to get back to the same spot. You know, like, Mac Brown's kind of doing that at UNC now.
Yeah.
And UNC is nowhere on the same level as USC. The other name that I really would be interested in would be Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think one of two things. He's not just a football NFL football coach. He's coached in college.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
He's recruited before.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gets it.
Yeah.
He's also coaching Patrick Mahomes right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You think that wouldn't help?
No. And then the other name I would look at as far as coordinators would go would be Bill O'Brien. You know, he's at Alabama right now as their offensive coordinator. That's kind of what you do now. You get fired from a job.
Yeah.
Alabama shines you up.
Yeah.
And you go back out there and you find a job.
I would just say, yeah.
No.
Bill O'Brien did a really good job.
The mics are on. Don't change what you said to me the other day, how he turned around a Penn State team after they went through all that
stuff.
He
did a really good job after the Sandusky scandal and the Paterno scandal. Mm-hmm. Bill O'Brien did a really good job getting Penn State back to winning football. And he's worked with some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and then also with the Saban Connect. Bill O'Brien wouldn't be bad. I would stay away from P.J. Fleck.
Yeah.
What about the wild card? What about Lane?
No, Lane's not going home.
He was left on the tarmac.
No.
What about Lane Kiffin?
No shot. You know what Lane's doing? Lane just wants his Ole Miss job just to mess with Saban. He just wants to annoy the crap out of Saban once a year. That's all he wants.
I wouldn't want Lane Kiffin. That was such a disaster the first time around. I know that he has kind of settled in as a very good coach of a big program, but the burnout at Tennessee, the disaster at USC, getting left on the tarmac. I don't need anything from Lane Kiffin anymore.
No.
All right, the Heisman watch. Who is in the lead through 2 weeks? We talk about next.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate Show with Black and Abdallah, presented by Nissan.
Black and Abdallah.
Follow them on Instagram at Adam A. Abdallah and at C. Black. Welcome back to Chicago's College Tailgate.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
It's college football's highest honor.
From now on, your name will be followed by the words Heisman Trophy winner.
I'll be the Heisman.
Here's Chris Black and Adam Abdallah.
Each week throughout the college football season on Chicago's College Tailgate, we like to keep our eyes on the Heisman watch in the race to win the Heisman Trophy. Our show is brought to you by Nissan, CGCSportsInfo.com, and Coors Light. And Adam, when we look at the Heisman odds right now, Bryce Young is the leader on the board. Matt Corral is the second best odds to win the Heisman Trophy. And then Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma is number three. C.J. Stroud from Ohio State, I would guess at number four, is not going to be in the conversation because of the loss last week with Oregon. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone outside of those three do you see in the conversation at the moment for the Heisman Trophy?
No, I mean, you look at marquee games, right? Bryce Young probably has the most marquee games left to prove himself as the candidate right now. You know, Spencer Rattler, they can't score right now against Nebraska. It's Oklahoma, Nebraska. There's 10 points in that game right now. So
it's amazing for what everyone thought heading into this weekend.
No, there's still a whole half of football left. But as of right now, the show that many were predicting Spencer Rattler to put on is not happening. And he's going to have to pad his stats as well in order to make it. But Bryce Young, to me, he's plus 350 right now to win the Heisman Trophy. He's probably the best bet just because he's got games against Florida today, Texas A&M, the Auburn game, the SEC championship game. Those games will be marquee games that people will get a chance to see him showcase his talents. You know, Matt Corral, like you mentioned, is 5-1. Spencer Rattler, 8-1. CJ Stroud, 10-1. And DJU of Clemson, if they put up a bunch of numbers, like I know they have the loss. No offensive touchdowns in that game against Georgia, but if you wanted a dark horse candidate to, you know, to take a lottery ticket on at 18-1, DJU from Clemson isn't bad.
Has Adrian Martinez been the quarterback at Nebraska for 6 years?
7,000 years, actually.
It's incredible. And each year, he doesn't really improve.
He actually played.
That's the only option they have?
He actually played in the game of the century.
I think he did.
Yeah.
We have a couple things to let you know about. Next week, Chicago's College Tailgate, we will be on early. We'll be on early next week, live from Flo and Santos in the South Loop from 9 to 11 a.m. Wisconsin and Notre Dame play next Saturday at Soldier Field. We will be on early from 9 to 11 a.m., taking you up to kickoff. That's the big noon game on Fox next Saturday. Wisconsin and Notre Dame, we will be live at Flo and Santos in the South Loop, drinking Coors Light.
Come hang.
Hang out with us next Saturday in the morning. Get a mimosa, get a little Bloody Mary, and guess what? We're going to have some pizza.
The Coors Light and orange juice, a mimosa.
Flo and Santos has some of the best thin crust pizza in the entire city.
That's the college football mimosa. Is a Coors Light and a little bit of orange juice.
Mix it all right in there. So next week, 9 to 11 a.m., before you go to Wisconsin and Notre Dame, the game at Soldier Field, come stop by, hang out with Black and Abdallah at Flo and Santos. Also, on Monday, you have a chance to join Waddle and Sylvie and White Claw in Vegas for a football weekend. Listen Monday starting at 7 a.m., and we'll qualify a fan each hour for Cap and Jay Hood, Carmen and Yurko, and Waddle and Sylvie. At 4:35, we'll read a name from the qualifiers. You'll have 10 minutes to call back to win a trip to Vegas for two, October 8th to the 10th. You'll stay at Circa Resort and Casino, and Waddle and Sylvie will broadcast live. And on Sunday, you'll go to the game. It's sponsored by iDots Life or DeathIllinois.com. Listen to win all day Monday from Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. And you can go see Sylvie later on today.
In Antioch today from 2 to 4 o'clock, he's going to be at Anastasia's restaurant at 2 o'clock. And then he's going to Wings, etc. And then to Rivalry Ale House for the bar crawl, courtesy of White Claw and Circa. So go on out there, say hi to Sylvie, qualify. You can qualify at each bar. So make sure you head out for your chance to go to Vegas with the guys for Vegas and Chicago.
Okay, Alabama, Florida, are we going to have a little Lee Corso?
Not so fast.
Action there from the Gators. Is it going to be an upset?
Not so fast.
Survive in advance, man. Survive
Crimson
in advance.
Crimson Tide later on today.
Survive in advance. I think they can win this game. It's a big
Not
spread.
Not so fast.
Closer than the experts think, but hopefully the home field magic has been used on West Virginia and Indiana.
And as always,
Texas!
They're not. They got blown out by Arkansas last week. Good luck in the SEC, Texas, because I don't think you know what you're getting.
They'll make a good
All right, we'll talk to you Monday.
Chicago's College Tailgate
Thanks,
Show,
Tyler.
Presented by Nissan, with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Go Tigers.